بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon the Prophet and the believers from his family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing some qualities of the rebellions, those who break Allah's covenant after ratifying it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ. This is the second thing. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is the third thing. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those who break Allah's covenant after ratifying it and sever what Allah has ordered to be joined, this is another quality, and do mischief on earth, this is a furthermore another quality. It is they who are the losers, another quality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of those rebellions, Ahlul Fisq. They break Allah's covenant after ratifying it, and Allah's covenant is believing in him and in his messengers. This is taken from every person, and this is to worship Allah, associating therefore no partners with him in worship. This is something within man's nature originally, that the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that in their fitra, in their natural inclination, that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone, as came in the authentic hadith, ما من مولود إلا يولد على الفطرة. No one born, or no child born, except that is born on the state of fitra, which is the natural disposition of worshipping Allah. فأبواه يهودانه. It's his parents who make him a Jew. أو ينصرانه, or a Christian. أو يمجسانه, or make him a Magian. So when the messengers bring the proofs and signs and the revelations from Allah, then the duty upon every person is to believe. As to those rebellions, they broke the covenant and didn't believe in Allah and his messengers. And the breaking of something is dissolving that thing, in this case the covenant, after establishing it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this covenant clear in his saying in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is chapter 5, verse 12, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ 12 نَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Indeed, Allah took the covenant from the children of Israel, the Jews, and we appointed 12 leaders among them. And Allah said, I am with you if you perform a salah and give zakah and believe in my messengers, honor and assist them, and lend to Allah a good loan. لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Verily, if you do that, I will remit your sins and admit you to gardens. وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. But if any of you after this disbelieved, he has indeed gone astray from the straight path. Back to the verse, inshallah, our verse in 27. From the descriptions of those who break the covenant is that they sever that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala No, I mean verse 27. Yes, they sever what Allah has ordered to be joined, like the relation with kins, and helping the messengers, and standing with the truth, and defending the truth, giving people their rights. So really they don't give much attention to severing the relation with Allah, meaning worshipping Him alone, but also they turn away from the path of Allah, try to turn away people who believe in Allah, turn them away from His path. And they add to that, they sever the relationships with kins and with neighbors and with orphans and with the poor, because they don't believe in the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if any one of them joins these things of relationships, they do that not as an act of worship, rather because it's a habit or a social quote unquote duty. From that angle only they perform it. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The third description is that they spread mischief on earth. يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِالْمَعَاصِي, by disobedient acts, as well as by physical corruption, by physical damage to the land, and by killing others. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that in Surah Ar-Rum 30:41, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Evil, sins and disobedience, and not only that, every form of sin is from the evil. Add to that the destruction, the physical destruction, all of that is included, had appeared or has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned, that Allah may make them taste a part of that which they have done in order that they may return by repenting to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the consequence of their actions when He said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, in the same verse 27. Indeed, those are the losers. They are the losers. They think that they are on good and that they are winning, but Allah makes it clear that to the contrary, they are the losers. أولئك هم الخاسرون. This statement is a nominal statement. It's not a verbal sentence. It is affirmed by the term هم. Who? It is they who are the losers. Separatory pronoun, who. And this pronoun, when it is mentioned, it has three benefits. The first benefit is at-tawkeed, which means assertion. The second thing is particularization, al-hasl. And the third thing is removing any ambiguity between the adjective and the object, the grammatical sense. And the saying of Allah concerning them, describing them as losers, and the loser is the one who missed winning, because those missed winning and profiting the willing entitled for those who kept their covenant with Allah and who didn't sever the relations which Allah ordered to be joined. Now, the benefits of this verse. The first benefit is that the breaking of the covenant with Allah is from fisq, from disobedience and rebellion. And thus, whenever you see a person abandons doing what's dutiful upon him, or executes that which is forbidden, then this is from breaking the covenant with Allah after ratifying it. And the second benefit, warning against breaking the covenant of Allah after ratifying it, because this will lead to fisq, to rebellion and disobedience. And the third benefit, warning lest people sever the relationship which Allah commanded with the kins and ship, with the kins and the relatives, because this would be blameworthy. And severing the relations with the kins is from the major sins, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim that the one who severs the relationship of the kins will not be admitted to paradise. And this is a severe warning. And from the fourth point of benefit, that sins and disobedience and rebellion cause the spread of mischief on earth. And we cited Surah Ar-Rum verse 41 early, and that should be sufficient. And that's why if rain stops and if the earth becomes barren under these difficult times, if people return to Allah and perform Salat al-Istisqa, the Salah of seeking the rain from Allah, and they humiliate themselves to Him and repent to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them. Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, said to his people, affirming what you heard, 71:10-12, فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهار. من سورة نوح verse 10 to 12. I said to them, ask forgiveness from your Lord. استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا, he is oft forgiving. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا, consequently he will send rain to you in abundance if you ask forgiveness from him, and give you increase in wealth and children. ويمددكم بأموال وبنين, furthermore ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهار. Let's have the continuity of the verse inshallah. And bestow on you gardens and bestow on you rivers. Now, if someone asks the following question, isn't there on the earth righteous people who are establishing the command of Allah and His rights and giving people their rights Yet we see that mischief is spread. The answer to this, such a question was raised by Umm al-Mu'mineen, by the mother of the believer, Zainab, may Allah be pleased with her. And she raised it before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, was warning of the evil that may be inflicted on the Arabs, when he said, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اقْتَرَبْ, woe to the Arabs from an evil that is approaching. She said, أَنَهْلَكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ, could it be that we'll be destroyed while the righteous are amongst us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثِ, yes, if evil becomes abundant. And this could mean two things. First, that this evil would be abundant such that most people do that. Or the second meaning, that evil with its various types would become abundant from the few. And yet the righteous don't stand up to correct and reject. Example, if kafirs become many on the earth, then this would be a cause for the spread of evil and for afflictions, because the kafirs are impure, and therefore their increase in number will increase evil. And also, if the actions, the disobedient actions, increase and become abundant, then that will cause ayban, similarly this will cause the spread of evil and afflictions, because sins are khabath, are evil. And from the benefits of this verse is the benefit number 5. Those who objected against the parable which Allah set concerning the mosquito, and in general against the parables like the spider, the fly, and they broke the covenant and severed what Allah ordered to be adjoined and spread mischief on the land, they are the losers, even though they think that they are doing good. The 6th point of benefit. The indication that mischief on the land is from the qualities of those rebellions, and thus consequently righteousness on earth is from the qualities of the good and the just and uprightness. And from the benefits of this verse is the responsibility to fulfill the covenant of Allah. And anyone who fulfills the covenant with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill for him his promise. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2, verse 40, the same surah, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوْفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ. O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill your obligations to my covenant with you, so that I fulfill my obligations to your covenant with me, and fear none but me. This brings the end concerning the explanation and the points of benefit of this verse. Now we move to verse 28. كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون. How can you disbelieve in Allah? This exclamation is an exclamation of denial and amazement and astonishment. And kufr, كيف تكفرون, kufr is denial and belying, and it is taken from كفر الشيء in Arabic, means covered it, shielded it. So here, how do you reject and belie and disdain worshipping Allah alone and deny the resurrection, yet you know your origin, how you came to life? كيف تكفرون بالله, how can you disbelieve in Allah, seeing وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, seeing that you were dead, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, he gave you life, ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, then he will give you death, ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then again will bring you to life, and then unto him you will return, ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, saying كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, meaning this is before the blowing of the soul in man, he is dead, inanimate. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, in the blowing of your soul, the blowing of the soul in you, he brought you to life. Then he will give you death, meaning after you come to this life. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then again will bring you to life. This is the life of the hereafter, where there is no death afterwards. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, then unto him you will return. This is after the second life, you will return to Allah, and then we will tell you of your deeds and will recompense you. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is denying what those disbelievers, denying their disbelief, despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them in this manner, brought them to existence from non-existence, and gave them life after death, and their obligation should have been that they should offer thanks to him in submitting to him alone. The benefits of this verse, the strong denial until it reaches the point of astonishment concerning the one who disbelieves while knowing his condition and knowing his return. The second point, that man before the soul is breathed unto him is dead, inanimate. So there is no ruling concerning him. He's not considered from the living. So if the fetus comes out before the soul is blown in him, then there is no legal ruling considering him alive, or he doesn't take the rulings applicable to those who are alive, and that's why he is not to be washed. nor to be shrouded. And prayers, the funeral prayer, is not to be conducted on him. And he does not inherit. And he is not inherited because he is dead, inanimate. Rather, he is buried in any cemetery or any other thing, any other place. And he doesn't need to be given a name. And there is no aqiqah for him. And if someone asks, when life is established in him, the answer, if he completes 4 months, as evident from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and he is the true and the truly inspired, he said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ 40 يَوْمًا. The matter of creation of a human being is put together in the womb of the mother in 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. And then he becomes a clot of thick blood for a similar period, meaning 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then he'll become a piece of flesh for a similar period. Then Allah will send him an angel, will send an angel who is ordered, وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ. Then Allah will send an angel who is ordered to write 4 things. اكتب عمله ورزقه وأجله وشقي أو سعيد. He is ordered to write down his deeds, meaning the new creature's deeds, his livelihood, his date of death, and whether he will be blessed or wretched in the hereafter. The 340s, therefore, in this embryonic development, amounts to 4 months. And from the benefits is that death may be, death, the term death, may be used to describe that which has no soul in it, even though it may not be preceded by life, meaning it is not conditional that the description of death, using the term death, must be preceded by life. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. Back to the verse, please, 28. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, that you were dead and he gave you life. As to the thinking of some people that the term dead applies only to the one who is preceded by life, this is incorrect. Because rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalized the use of the term death. Okay, Zakallah khair. On the inanimate, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl 16, أموات غير أحياء. They are dead, lifeless. And from the benefits of this verse is the manifestation, making it clear the ability of Allah by bringing life to the dead. No one can bring life to the dead except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when Abraham alayhi salam established the evidence against that man who argued with him concerning Allah, we read in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:258, ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت. When Abraham said to him, my Lord Allah is he who gives life and causes death, that man said, I give life and cause death. So Ibrahim made it clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives life and causes death, and this, no one possesses this ability except Allah. And as to the statement of this arguing person, I give life and cause death, this is, you know, is a tricky and coming through a way of delusion, where he pretended or claimed that he is able to give life and cause death. And so in this matter, in order to remove any ambiguity concerning it, lest this person deceives people, Ibrahim answered in the same verse, 2:258, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي. Here he's establishing proof against him. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ. Verily Allah causes the sun to rise from the east. فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Then cause it you to rise from the west. Let's have the rest of the verse. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. So the disbeliever was utterly defeated. And Allah guides not the people who are zalimin. From the points of benefit is affirming the resurrection. Because Allah stated in this verse, ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, then He will bring you to life, ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. In the same verse, then he will give you death, then he again will bring you to life, and then unto him you will return. And this resurrection was denied by some people, and they thought it is not possible, and their statement was, and as in Surah Yasin, as Allah related their saying in 36:78, مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Who will give life to these bones when they have rotted away and became dust? Then after that, Allah established 8 proofs in response. And all of these are at the end of Surah Yasin. The first evidence is, the first proof came in the next verse, 79. Allah answered, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. He will give life to them who created them for the first time. And He is the all-knower of every creation. أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Who created them for the first time. This is a decisive proof and clear evidence on the possibility of bringing them again to life. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Rum 30:27, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And He it is who originates the creation, then will repeat it after it has been perished, and this is easier for Him. The second proof, In the same verse of 36:79, it ended by saying, Allah said, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ, and He is the all-knower of every creation. So the evidence is in the saying in 36:79, where He said, Allah, and He is the all-knower of every creation. Meaning, how could He be incapable to bring them back after being perished, while He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, is all-knower of every creation? He knows how to create things and to make them. So therefore, He is not incapable of bringing them again, resurrect them. The third proof, now in the same chapter, but the next verse, Surah Yasin, verse 18. الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر أخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون. The one who Allah produces for you out of the green tree produces for you fire out of the green tree, then behold, you kindle therewith. The green tree, cool, moist, and the fire, hot, dry. This hot and dry fire produced from the cool and moist green trees. And in the past, it is known that people used to strike the branches from certain trees with an old kindling device. When they do that, fire is produced. Something easy to ignite. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of this verse, فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ, and behold, you kindle therewith. And what's the point of evidence? How can we deduce from this verse the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of the resurrection? Meaning, the one who is capable of producing for you this fire, the hot and dry, from the green, moist, cool tree, given all the contradictions between their qualities, is able to bring life to the crumbled bones, or from the crumbled bones. The fourth proof, now the next verse, all of them in Surah Yasin, one after the other, eight evidences. أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ. Is not He who created the heavens and the earth able to create the like of them? بَلَىٰ, yes indeed, He is all-knowing, supreme creator. And the deduction of the evidence lies that the creation of the heavens and the earth is far more greater than the creation of mankind. And the one who is capable of creating that which is most great of the creation is able to create that which is of a lesser magnitude. The fifth evidence is in the last statement, where He said, He is the all-knowing, supreme creator. The fifth proof here. So the supreme creator, this is His description, this is His quality. And this is an eternal quality. And He creates, He's qualified with it eternally, and He creates whenever He wishes. It's continuous. Continuously creating as He wish and as He sees fit. So the one who is qualified with this perfect attribute is not incapable to bring life to the crumbled bones. The sixth point, or the sixth proof, is in 36, next verse please, 82. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily his command when he intends a thing is only that he says to it be and it is. No matter what this thing may be. Because the term a thing is general. So Amru, his command. So he could say to it be and then bring it back again to creation or to life. And therefore this tells, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing difficult on him subhanahu wa ta'ala, including giving life to the dead. The seventh evidence is Allah saying in the last verses, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Subhan, glorified be, above every imperfection, above what they associate with him, and in whose hand is the dominion of all things. كل شيء, everything is in the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, possessed by him. The existing, he makes it non-existence, and the non-existing makes it exist, because he is the Lord of everything. And the point of evidence in this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorifying himself far above any imperfection, and this includes glorifying himself above incapability to give life to the crumbled bones. And the last and eighth evidence is in the last statement that you see there, وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and to him you shall be returned. How this fits as an evidence? It is directed as an evidence in the sense that it is not from the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates this creation, commands it to do and not to do, and send them the messengers, and whatever fight occurs on this earth between the believers and the non-believers, then the matter becomes like this and aimlessly. It is not wise. This is not wise. This is not befitting to Allah. Then there must be a turn, or a return rather. And this is an intellectual reasoning proof. So these are eight proofs now on the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect the bones, all present in one place in the Quran, in Surah Yasin. So try to remember these verses inshallah. They start from 36, 78 till 83. Okay, eight proofs, and the Quran, of course, there are many places in the Quran and the Sunnah to the same effect. And from the benefits of this verse, that creation is definitely going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning. Inshallah we take a break now, and then we resume verse 29 after that inshallah ta'ala.